Hi, guys. You are listening to Bring Your Own, a catch-all bookish most of the time podcast. I'm Brandy.
I'm Kendra.
I'm Kayla.
And today we are talking unpopular bookish opinions. Now, during season one, a couple seasons ago, we did our own unpopular bookish opinion where we each brought one and just talked about those kind of at length. But this time we wanted to hear what you guys had to say. So we put out a poll on our socials and asked you guys to tell us your unpopular bookish opinions. And there were so many good ones. We picked a few that we're going to chat about today. But before we get into that, ladies, what are we reading? Yeah. What are we drinking?
I am drinking water.
Hydrated
because
queen.
I didn't run my dishwasher last night and my coffee pot was in my dishwasher, so I couldn't make coffee and I didn't want to hand wash it. And then I am reading, I started The Partner Plot. Thank you, PRH Audio, for the advanced audio arc. We love you guys.
We
so
love
much.
You guys.
Oh, please let us stay.
This is not an ad, but we would love it for it to be.
Because for those of you who aren't listening, who are listening, PRH Audio runs their influencer program like the fucking army. Oh my god, like you have to like be on it. So we're just like, okay, like I'll use it, I promise.
They sent us this like menacing email.
It was
threatening. But we love them so much, and like I discovered Ready or Not through them, so like truly thank you so much, because like if I wasn't in this program, truly, I would have probably never read that book. So I'm listening to that, started last night, and then I also started Woke Up Like This by Amy Leah. Is that how you pronounce her last name?
Amy Lee.
It's Amy Lee. Mm-hmm. I'm only like four or five chapters in. It's, I think it's like a 13 going on 30 type-esque book where this girl is going to, I'm not there yet, but I know she's going to eventually wake up like however many years in the future and be married to this guy that like she can't stand right now in high school. And so I'm excited to get there. It's very, you can tell that a millennial wrote this, but not in like a bad way. Like the references are strong, but they're in high school. Okay. So I'm like, all right. Like, but everyone looks like a celebrity and like, oh, he looks like Noah Centineo. He looks
ewie. Like, I hate that.
But it's like not bad. Like, I don't know. It's not like super bad, like the way she describes it. Cause it's like, she's aware of it. I feel like, I don't know. But yeah, that's what I'm currently listening to and reading and drinking.
I am currently listening to Swift and Saddled by Lila Sage. Again, thank you, Penguin Random.
No, I'm laughing at you being like, again, thank you, Penguin Random House.
Again, thank you, Penguin Random House Audio. We love you so much. Dead ass, you guys. It's like, it's stressful because it's my favorite influencer program to be a part of, and it's genuinely the most stressful one because they're like, you better post, so I'm listening to that, and it's Teddy Hamilton and Vanessa Edwin, and I think Teddy Hamilton is the most in his bag when he is doing, you know, small town romances, so this suits the casting quite well. I like this one more than Done and Dusted. Yeah, having fun.
Good. Did you say what you're drinking?
Oh, so true. I am drinking a Corma latte.
Love it. I'm drinking water, same as Kendra, hydrated queens today. I'm also listening to The Partner Plot by Christina Forrest. Thank you so much, PRH Audio. I love you so much. you're great. Love you. Please don't kick me out. And then I am also today starting on my Kindle a highly anticipated read from Miss Kendra. She's been waiting for me to finally read it. So
wait.
I'm going to start.
Is it Clockwork Angel? Holy shit. You're reading it physically?
I am. Yeah.
Ooh.
Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm just excited for you. I just was expecting audio.
Was there like a reason why?
Truthfully, it's just because I wanted to read something on my Kindle and I didn't have anything on my Kindle at the moment.
I think you do a lot of fantasy physically too.
Yeah. And like there are so many audiobooks right now that I would like to get through, and I wanted to get to this book as well. So I was like, let me just do this on Kindle.
I'm trying not to be annoying about it, so I'm leaving her alone.
Yeah. I sent her a picture of my Kindle library the other day with it on there, and I was like, that's crazy. Like, I don't know what to read next.
And I was like, well, I'll just keep my mouth shut. But if you need help pronouncing anything, like,
okay. Yeah.
No, she has to send me updates. I'm just not going to be like, have you read?
I know. I'm just saying, like, if you want to send any unfiltered updates, let me know.
No, they can be unfiltered too. Oh my, like, no, you cannot take this reading experience away from me. I've been waiting so patiently.
I would just love them as well, is all I'm saying.
So send them to the group chat.
There you go.
Period.
I'll send them to Julian Hate Sister Wives.
Thank you.
It's been our group chat name for like 2 years.
For a bazillion years.
We can name it after my dog.
I don't know if it's ever changing at this point. It's been Julian.
Oh, yeah, we'll just say Julian. Now he thinks I'm talking to him.
Shall we chat some unpopular bookish opinions?
Let's do it. First, we want to say that we also got like, just to quickly rapid fire some ones that we already agree with. And I think that you guys know audiobooks 100% count as listening. We got that a lot. We also got pregnancy trope is great. You guys already know on this podcast,
we
in
are
this
pregnancy
house,
girlies.
In this house, we are, as Brady told Elsie Silver once, we are pregnancy girlies. So pregnancy trope girlies. We love that trope. So just wanted to get those out of the way.
First. And then just to like touch back on, if you want to hear us talk more about our unpopular opinions that we brought, you can go back to our episode in season one. I talked about specifically the pregnancy trope and I talked about it kind of at length. Kendra, mm-hmm. you talked about flowers on covers.
Yes.
Started a revolution.
To this day, I get sent so many.
Yeah.
And Kayla, you talked about
love triangles.
Yes. Oh my God. Wait, you're going to love Infernal Devices.
Bro, she's gonna fucking eat that shit. Thank you. Okay, anyways.
That's great. So if you want to hear us talk like at length about those three things, please feel free to go back and listen to our other episode. But today is about your guys' unpopular bookish opinions.
We had people submit their unpopular opinions two ways. So they could submit them on Instagram to us publicly, like we could see your at name, and if you did that, we will be reading your at name, and then you could submit them anonymously, and we got a few that were sent anonymously, and again, we got a lot, so we won't get through all of them today, but we'll probably do a part two and get through the rest. But who wants to take the first one, guys?
I'll start. So we got a lot of ones surrounding the third act breakup or just the miscommunication trope in general, so I'm not going to read them all, but I think this is a good summarization. This one that we got from Anonymous says, the no third act breakup trend has led to a ton of books with zero story structure whatsoever. Books need conflict or they're just a collection of scenes. The climax should be about the main plot line and not some random thing that was mentioned like twice before.
Agreed.
And that's from Anonymous. And I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
Do you know what's so interesting to me is like, I feel like authors saw people saying, I hate that they're breaking up for no reason. Like, this isn't realistic. This isn't a real reason that they would break up. And instead of doing the work to find a realistic conflict and like a true to like real life thing that people in love are going through, they're just like, well, how about this?
How about we kidnap their baby?
Yeah.
We're going to kidnap their baby. Oh, like you're fucking like. Oh my God.
You're the fourth person in this town to get shot within the calendar year, but nobody dies.
Sometimes couples need to break up. Sometimes
they
that has to happen.
Or you know? A conflict could even just be like a big fight. Like I've read so many really great romance books where there is a huge argument, but you know these people still love each other. And it's a fucking romance book. We know they're going to end up together. So like you can have them get into big, realistic, true to life fights. And not break up. Like, if you are truly, truly have your heart set on the fact that they're not going to break up, then give us something. Give us something.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I bring up this series all the fucking time. But I always go back to the Simple Wild series. Wild at Heart, there is a huge conflict that happens. Although, I guess they don't necessarily break up. There is a massive fight that they both have.
So good.
And Kendra literally rereads it. Every single day.
All the time.
It's such a good scene.
So
like, yeah.
Yeah. That one, I also think of like Out on a Limb, where the conflict is them trying to figure out how they're going to be parents. You know what I mean? There isn't one huge, massive breakup or anything like that, but it still felt like cohesive and there wasn't a kidnapping or an armed robbery or a ransom situation.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? That would have been the most out of left field thing.
The ever. Book Jasperville would have been 10 times better if there wasn't a random like active shooter. Like imagine if they just broke up because their personalities like weren't jamming and like they weren't. So like she had a reason to break them up. But no, let's just go shoot up a hotel. Oh, that pissed me off so bad. Like, what the fuck? Anyway, Surviving Quincy Montana will be out on Hulu.
Literally.
We joke about that all the time.
Wild. Like, so we agree with you, Anonymous.
Yes.
I don't think there needs to be like a huge, there needs to be a conflict. We agree with that. Yeah. But if you're dead set on not having them break up, which we think that sometimes they should break up, then you need to put in the work to find something realistic and true to the book.
I think, the miscommunication trope, especially where it like becomes very silly, is just when there are two adults that simply just aren't actually talking to each other. Yeah, that's really where it becomes frustrating.
I think miscommunication gets paired with other tropes where it doesn't make sense. So like, I think in like a fake dating book, like it's that when it becomes so frustrating because I'm like, you guys literally were able to sit down and talk about and plan how you're going to fake date and like trick all these people, but you can't talk about your feelings. That's when it becomes super frustrating. But sometimes it's like, oh, like he has had like an avoidant communication style this entire book and like y'all's plot is like something else. Like miscommunication makes sense then.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I also think people hear things on like book talk specifically and it takes one person to be like, I don't like miscommunication, and they got 10,000 likes on that video. So then someone else was like, oh, I don't like miscommunication too. And
wait
then,
a second. Does this book have any miscommunication? I can't stand miscommunication. Literally.
And then it goes from there.
That's why I'm saying, like, I know we said we weren't going to go into detail about the pregnancy trope, but that's why I'm like, you bitches haven't read a good pregnancy trope. If you're still saying that in the year of our Lord 2024, that you will refuse to read a pregnancy trope book, obviously there are extenuating circumstances where people have, like, things in their lives or whatever. Even me saying that makes me think of that girl who's, like, the bean soup girl. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Where this person was like, they're like, this is a bean soup, 15 different kinds of beans. They're doing the recipe. And then this girl was like, I go to the fucking comments and somebody said, what if I don't like beans?
Oh, yeah.
Then you don't get to read there. Then you don't get to eat the soup. What do you mean? Anyways, I just truly believe that there are some people who haven't even tried stuff. And like you said, it's just trendy to say that they don't like something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I'll do the next one. Oh my God. Another Anon. I rather be surprised to read about microtropes in books than see all them listed before reading. Example, tell me it's a romance, grumpy sunshine, etc. Mm-hmm. But if there's a one bed trope, he takes care of her when sick, etc. I'd rather not know to experience a story better than have high expectations.
Yep.
I don't disagree.
I 100% agree with that. You disagree?
I don't disagree.
Oh.
Sorry, double negative there.
When I first read that one, I thought about the fact that one of my top reads of the year last year, this video had gone viral, posting about something that happened in this book. So I was like waiting for it. And it was like the final act of service in the whole book. And it was like this huge reveal. It was like the secret thing. And it was, I'm not kidding you guys, within the last 10 pages. I was so fucking pissed that that moment was taken from me, like that reveal of that. Oh my God, it infuriated me.
Yeah. That's why I love when we have authors on, we always ask them like, you know, is there a moment from the book that like you don't want being spoiled? But like now it's just like a marketing thing too. Like that Tessa Bailey book went viral because the graphic had like, like touch her and you'll die or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I don't need to know. One thing that's really starting to bother me when I see those is if I see that he falls first. And granted, like, I know I'm a victim of this because I will, like, get on TikTok and be like, in this book, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just how, like, it works. But, like, I myself am starting to hate when I see that shit because I want to be surprised. All my favorite books from last year, I probably went in with, like, zero to no expectations and just vibed. And that was 10 times better than, like, knowing everything.
Yeah, I think this is just a result of, I mean, yeah, just book talk, social media in general, overconsumption, just people being sold strictly on tropes from a book, Now, granted, I can be guilty of that too. Like, you know, I've gotten really into the habit, like I've said before, of not reading descriptions. And usually I will go in knowing a vague idea, like what maybe I'll know what the trope is, but that's usually it. But yeah, I think a lot of people just like when you see an author announce their book, now again, it's the Tessa Bailey thing where they have the cover with the arrows pointing to the different tropes. Like that's how people market their book now, because people want to know what are the tropes in this book, and they just base their decision of reading that book off of that. And that's, again, that's not necessarily bad. It's just a result of what Anand said.
I think that can also be, even we could speak to a larger issue, which we don't have to talk about right now for the sake of time, but like of authors writing two tropes,
yes,
instead of to a story, right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like I don't want to become one of those like Twitter who's like book talk is ruining the reading market, but
yeah,
I think there is, especially which we talked about on our last episode, Kendra specifically was mentioning that like the like authors can slow down, they're allowed to slow down in writing books.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah. we're losing recipes, and that's why like yeah.
Okay, next one. I love this one. Some small town romances don't need a single dad who calls his girl a good girl. That was submitted by our friend Haley at Haley's house.
Like calls his partner good girl?
Yeah.
While being like, a single dad and also having a child himself?
I think she just means the idea of like,
oh,
every small town in America has a hot single dad who's calling his, you know, significant other good
much
girl,
younger, you know? Nanny. Yeah. Shut the fuck up. I get it.
Yeah. I think it also just like, I mean, it's fun to daydream about that stuff, of course, but like my parents grew up in small ass fucking towns, and anytime I went to visit my grandparents, like you're not finding a Kate Eaton in those towns. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Not a chance.
Also, like I think about like any grown man calling me that and I just get the ick. So and it doesn't work all the time with some of these like small town guys, because it's just like you're like a normal regular ass person. It has to like it has to serve the character
ass civilian. Act like it.
No, literally act like it.
Along that same line, I don't think there always needs to be a nickname in books, in romance books.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine with, like, a good old-fashioned, like, babe every once in a while. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, Starlight McMuffin, you know?
I like it better when the nickname is just, like, a version of their name but shortened. I think that's just, like, way better. Or it's, like, the opposite, where, like,
everyone
calls them a shortened and they call
the full name. They're going to call them their full name. That's so cute.
I love that. But like some random ass like, hey, firecracker, shut the fuck up. Like.
Some of them are a fucking mouthful. I'm like, that's not a nickname. That's a long name. Okay. Like, what are you talking about?
I have a question. So we all like Reckless was all in our top 10 books of the year last year. We love that book. Do you guys like
Tink? I hated it.
I mean, you have the infamous one from what's her name? Mariana Zapata in All Roads Lead Here when you called her buddy.
No.
Because
of
the elf?
No.
Or like a good old-fashioned meatball. Mariana Zapata is the biggest offender of horrendous nicknames.
I love Tobias so much, I just chalked it up to him being like a corny old dad. Like if it was any other man, I'd be like, oh, what a loser. But it's him, I'm like, oh guys, like. And luckily he had another nickname for her too, which is Angel, so like it worked.
But why did he need two? That's like, I don't know, okay. Like why? Most people don't even have one nickname, you know what I mean?
Right.
What are y'all's family's nicknames? Like my mom and dad call me Kenny Poo.
My family calls me B, which is why I don't let Daniel call me B.
I don't have any nicknames. The only person that has ever nicknamed me is my childhood best friend, and she did call me Red. She called me Red. Hey, Red.
Oh my god, you're like, so that is a romance novel.
That is a real thing. That is a real thing. I will say that. All right, are we ready for the next one?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, our next friend is from Hey Loves Books. Our friend Haley.
Different Haley.
Friends to Lovers. Different Haley, yes. Friends to Lovers is boring.
False.
Disagree.
We disagree. I do disagree. Overall, I think it can be. Sure, just like any trope can be done poorly.
Yeah.
But I don't think overall that it's boring.
I wonder if people who don't like friends to lovers also are not a fan of a slow burn.
Potentially. Yeah. I do see, I think I've seen this issue before. Like a lot of the times I saw this with People We Meet on Vacation by Emily Henry. People were like, you're telling me that you've been friends for this long and you've never once, you know, thought about being together, that type of thing. I think a lot of people find issue with that. Like,
but that's the best part about friends to lovers is that they have thought that all the time.
Right.
I know you're not saying that.
Yeah, I just think people find it unrealistic that they haven't done anything about it for that long.
My question to those people,
maybe that's what they mean,
is have you made out with every friend that you've thought about making out with? Because there, I have lots of friends that I've thought about making out with that I haven't. And maybe if we did make out, we'd fall in love. Exactly. So I hard disagree. I think like watching two people who already love each other fall in love in a different way is one of the best things you can do in a romance book.
The next one is from our friend Bryn at B. Mm-hmm. How do you say her? Bryn, I don't know how to say your at name.
B-do.
It's B-do.
B-do reads. That's Bryn. Okay. She said, no hate, but all the Adam Driver MMCs are starting to drive me nuts. I
agree.
Hard agree.
Our friend Gracie has a book talk bingo card where she just like tries to get bingos off a discourse. It's so fucking funny. She's at Grapey Del Taco. You should follow her. But one of her little boxes is Raylo at the scene of the crime. Yeah. I thought that was so funny. And I hard agree.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. I'm just like, they are so like okay with changing Daisy Ridley's appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you guys can also then change like his appearance too. They like just make that so obvious.
Do you think Jack Smith Turner was originally Adam Driver?
No, someone commented and told me that it was like a different, like it's still Star Wars, but like it's a different like
ship.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I think it's also like, I don't know, for me, if somebody tells me that they're based on Adam Driver, that I can't picture anybody but Adam Driver, and I don't want to picture Adam Driver for every single book I'm reading. Sorry.
I know. Yeah, same. Like, how many times have you been victim to where you started to read a book and then somebody told you that it was based off of Raylo Fiennes?
Only a couple.
I didn't know that You Again was initially Raylo fan fiction. I think until maybe you told me, Kendra, or somebody said
you guys told me. I would not have known. Which is silly, and obviously, because you look at a cover.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah.
I mean, the book coming out, the other book coming out by Julie Soto this year, Not Another Love Song, cover is amazing. But that one's really so obvious, hot. Obviously. That one
so
is literally
Forget
Adam
Me Not.
I don't think that one's as bad. I don't think that one's as bad.
He looks like
oh, on the cover?
He looks like half Asian at least. Like, but like the same thing happened when Jessica Joyce dropped that fan art for You With a View. He looked Asian. I went into that book thinking that he was going to be Asian and he was just a white guy. So I was like, oh, womp womp. Stop drawing your white man with Asian features. Like, if you're going to do that, just write an Asian main character.
Okay, our next one is from Elizabeth Reeds. And she said, not every book needs spice. Rather, have a full book of sexual tension over spice.
I agree.
Also agree.
Yep. We touched on this in our last episode as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're becoming burnt out.
And I think this, again, kind of goes back to, like, a conversation we were having earlier about, like, writing to specific things rather – or, like, specific trends rather than, like, true to a story. Because Kendra texted our group chat the other day and she said, if I have to read one more You Can Take It in a book, I'm going to lose my mind.
I am. It's so annoying. It's so annoying.
I will say there's nothing more rewarding. And I feel this way a lot when I read like Elsie Silver books, for example. I think that she is so, so, so good building that tension. And so therefore, when you do get to those sex scenes, and obviously her books are pretty spicy, I think they're just that much more rewarding. So that's what I miss sometimes in books when it's just like we're 0 to 100 so quickly. And I'm just like, whoa, like it doesn't feel as fun because I didn't feel that build up beforehand. And so I'm just like, why am I reading this? You know?
Or if it's like a first chance round two book where we get it right away, but then we have to wait a really long time for it to happen again. Love that too.
That's and sometimes these like couples won't have any chemistry outside of the bedroom, and I think that's when it becomes frustrating. Like, ask yourself, like, okay, would these people be together if they weren't fucking each other? And a lot of times with books that we're getting nowadays, the answer is no. And like, I'm not talking about the books where they know what they are, right? Like, Hubie Tyler, she knows she's writing erotica. Like, that's what you're there for. But then you have books that were like, they try to be serious. And that's like, what are we doing? Like, why are they just fucking to fuck?
Right. And I also think like there are talent levels in writing spice because Katie Roberts books, every single time I read the sex scenes in her book, like that woman is so talented. Like she is so talented. I will be reading the rest of the Dark Olympus series for the spice alone. Like the plots could go completely off the rails and lose me entirely. And I will still be reading for the spice.
Yeah. I mean, this, again, goes back to the conversation that we had last episode specifically about YA. I think that, you know, they don't have spice or anything like that, but they're so good at building that relationship, building that tension that I don't really care. You know, like, Belladonna kind of, I guess it kind of toes the line of YA and NA a little bit, but from the very start, like, there was just, you just felt it so much, and it was just so good. I love that book so much.
Kendra said, oh,
God, that's so funny. Wow. No, I mean, obviously, I agree with that because I talked about that last week, too, about last hours and stuff.
All right. Our next one comes from Dodo the Book Bitch. I love your username. She said, mass market paperbacks are cute and have beautiful covers. Brandy, I know you probably agree with this one.
I think they're so charming. And yeah. I think that any Kendra, why are you laughing?
You sound like fucking that clip of Aretha Franklin when they ask her about Taylor Swift, and she's like, beautiful gowns, wonderful gowns.
What? I think mass market paperbacks are very charming. I'm glad that not every book I own is a mass market paperback, but I do like the ones that I do have where I love the story inside. I think it's so fun that the covers are what they are, like bodice ripper covers, because like I already love the story, but I'm not the type of person that a cover is going to like make or break reading a book for me. But like that beach read mass market, ugly.
Oh, well that, yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, I think they were mostly talking about bodice rippers. I mean, I could be totally wrong if this user was not talking about that. But I mean, I agree. Like, I think they're so camp. They're fun. I don't read a lot of bodice rippers. I think I read maybe two last year. But I want to get more into them. Like, yeah. Brady's showing one right now.
I'm holding up my little collection of mass market historical romances. They're so funny.
Whenever I go to Half Price Books, which is not that often because there's not one super close by me, but the sheer amount that they have of mass market paperbacks, I'm always just amazed by. There's so many.
It's like they're created in masses for the market.
That's crazy.
I think they can be cute. I don't think they're always cute.
That's what I was going to say. Like some of the bodice rippers are ugly.
That's okay. I guess it depends on the models for those ones.
Yeah. They're such like, well, yeah, the bodice stripper ones, they're such like, they're just so iconic at this point, you know?
Yeah.
You can't change them. You can't modernize that.
And I feel like historical romance girlies feel them like closer to their heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. This comes from Reads. Star rating is completely useless and irrelevant. Someone's 3 might be my 5. I like get the last part of that sentence. I don't think they're useless and irrelevant. Like,
yeah,
I think it just depends on who you're following. Cause like, obviously now I know if you guys rate something like a 4 or a 3.5, I'm like, all right, I can like judge that for myself. Like, okay, is it worth picking up? Versus like when some of my mutuals, some of y'all I won't name y'all, but some of y'all be rating books 5 stars. And I'm like, ooh, I will be avoiding. I will not be reading. And I'm pretty sure people say the same thing about me. They're like, oh, Kendra gave that book 5 stars. That book must be ass.
Not
like,
for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I completely agree. Like, I think you I think star ratings are relevant once you realize whose taste you align with. And if you don't have anybody mm-hmm. whose taste you align with, I could see how it would feel irrelevant to you.
And like, they are like, even like, it sucks that it is like this, but like on Goodreads, like they make or break a lot of books, which is, mm-hmm. I mean, it sucks, but like that's how publishing has set it up to where if your book is below like a 3 point, whatever, what is like the average on there? I forget.
Like a 3.2 like, or chances something.
Chances are, yeah, you're, it's not going to, your book isn't going to do well. So then I asked the question, how is Jessa Hastings writing a Never Two?
I don't know.
Because she was already contracted. Bloom was like, we already gave her the money. She better give us a fucking book.
And we can cancel that contract and she has to pay us back our advance. Like, ugh. Anyways.
All right. The next one is from Anonymous. And they said, not every book needs to be this think piece. If I want to trip down memory lane and read a Wattpad-like book, let me. Let me enjoy my cringy shit and rate it 5 stars. Which kind of touches on what we were talking about with star ratings.
Yeah.
But you my thing is like, yes, do you. But then don't be surprised when like someone picks it up and shits is on like, it. This is awful, you know? Like, because you're literally admitting like, oh, this is cringy.
I don't know about you guys, but I've like, so rarely ever had anybody be like, oh, you're reading that. And I think that's just because like I've curated mm-hmm. my community to be what I want it to be in these online booker spaces. Like I follow people I like and respect and admire and whose views I trust. So I've never like posted something and have someone been like, oh, you're reading that.
Right.
I don't know. Do you guys get that?
It's usually like in a positive way, like, oh my god, you're reading that, like let me know. But no, never negative. I always tell people I've had like a very like opposite experience of a lot of other people on bookish spaces, because I do see like a lot of mutuals be like, I posted about this book and like everyone commented how much they hated it, like why would you do that. I've never really had that problem.
I think it's more like, how do I say this, I think a lot of times people take, maybe people take it as like a sub, what do you call it? It's a subtweet, subpar. But what do you, so no, what do you call it? Like sub-tweet. Not directly calling you out. Yeah, I guess subtweet.
Oh, like
not directly
make calling a video you out. About a specific
Yeah. And so like, yeah. I think a lot of times people can take that as they're talking about them.
Yeah, a sneak
and disc. Maybe they are. Maybe they are. I don't know. But I think that a lot of people can see those, like if it's, especially it's about a book that they love. And then they see a review video, you know, of somebody shitting on it. Then they're like, oh, my God.
I also am just like the type of person. I'm obviously not talking about like harmful books or anything like that. But like, I just like don't really care what people enjoy.
Yeah.
Aside from, like I said, like those like harmful books or things like that.
Sure.
So I just like don't take that to heart anytime I see anybody like shitting on something I love, really. And if I do, I come to you two. Like I'm like in our group chat being like, ugh, so annoying. And then I move on with my life. Like I just, maybe this is because I'm a little bit older in the bookish spaces than a lot of people who are there. Like I just like refuse to let some rando on the internet ruin my day.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, now if you two love or read a book that I love and you don't like.
Yeah, that hurts that way personally. More.
I will take that personally, actually. But yeah, if it's just like somebody, you know, somebody random, then I'm not too bothered, you know. And you can enjoy your cringy shit in peace.
Yeah.
And then I guess like there are the people though that like actively seek out shit that they won't enjoy. We've talked about this
before. Oh my god, that is
that annoys me. Yeah, like I guess earlier when I was saying like don't be surprised when people get on and like talk shit about it negatively, I'm talking about the people who like genuinely picked it up wanting something better. Yeah, but like the people who just are reading it to shit on it, fuck those guys.
I just like can't like, and maybe people who do that genuinely enjoy that process, but there are just so many books in the world that I want to read. And we'll never be able to read every book that we want to read in our lifetime. So, like, the fact that you're going to spend time reading a book you know you're not going to like just blows my mind.
Yep. I agree. Okay. We have a couple more. The next one is from Ayana. And I apologize if I'm mispronouncing your name, girl. I love you. Ayana reads, there's no such thing as overhyped. I agree. I think we've talked about this before. Me personally, yeah. I agree. Oh, Kendra, what were you gonna?
No, disagree? I don't know. Because I definitely think we've all had moments where we're like, why is everyone fucking talking about this book? Like, you know,
I don't
I don't know.
I think if the hype is there, I guess the question is like, do we think that hype is always genuine, right? Or is it like you're falling into a trend kind of thing? Because that's the only way I could see overhyped being a thing is if like people are liking a book just for trend purposes. Mm-hmm. Because if the hype is there, then I don't think it's possible to be overhyped. I think you need to know your bookish tastes. And for people who are just getting back into reading, I think that can be harder. And I think it's a lot of those people who say, this was so overhyped, this is so overhyped, like people who don't know their own taste yet. Because like there are really popular books. Like I will never read an Anna Wong book. I'm sorry. I know myself and I know my bookish tastes. And I'm never going to read those books, even though they are massively, massively loved in bookish spaces. I know myself.
Yeah, I think like where I agree with this take is where I'm thinking of it in a way that like a book becomes super, super popular because, you know, a lot of people really loved it, really liked it. And then somebody reads it and they're like, this book was trash. It's overhyped. You know, like that's where I agree with this take in that the sense that no,
You just didn't like it.
You didn't like it. Yeah, that just means that you didn't like it. And that's okay. Like, it doesn't mean that the book was overhyped. It was just, it's the same situation like with songs that are overplayed on the radio. You know, people would be like, this song is so overhyped. It's overhyped. Maybe it's just overplayed and you just personally maybe don't like it or you're sick of hearing it because it's, you hear it all the time. It doesn't necessarily mean it was a bad song, you know?
Yeah, I guess like, I feel like maybe it shouldn't even come from like the reader said. Like, I guess you have to look at it like, is this book sweeping awards? Is this book like on every news circuit? Do they have like a lot of money behind it? And then you open it and it's like garbage. And maybe like that's when like overhype should like come into play. Cause I was just thinking like, when you said music, I was like, oh, like I think of the Grammys and like we're always like, oh, like that is only there because it was like overhyped and like da da da.
Yeah, I guess if you're looking at like the quality of the book versus the fan base, it's kind of like the question you have to ask yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, our last one.
This comes from Books Han Reads _. Mm-hmm. Epilogues are overrated. Obviously had this whole conversation about like underrated, overrated, whatever, or overhyped. I do think not every book needs an epilogue. I will say that. I think if the author does its job, then you should be able to like close that book and know they're going to be okay. But then there are authors that like write amazing epilogues. And I'm like, if you're going to write amazing epilogues, then I want an epilogue from you in every single book. But sometimes you don't need one.
I guess the question is, what from an epilogue, what do you guys want from an epilogue? What is an epilogue's job to you?
For me, I just want to see them happy, like later in life, just to show that they're still as in love 10 years from now as they were at the very end of the book. But like Kendra said, like, I don't think I need that. If a book is written well, like I know that they're still going to be in love kind of thing. But I also just like, I just love slice of life. Like me personally, I love that. So like when epilogues are just like them just like a normal day 10 years from now, like I love that shit.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I think when I am like reading a book, you know, and things are resolved at the end, right? Things are resolved and I feel good, whatever. But like maybe if I'm still left wanting something else, that epilogue kind of helps fill that hole a little bit, you know, like, so do I think they're overrated? No, neither. I think that maybe they could be in certain instances, but I don't think overall that they're overrated.
I don't think I ever get mad that an epilogue is in a book. Like, I'm never like, this doesn't need to be here.
Do you think that there's such thing as too many epilogues? They put out bonus epilogues all the time. You know, like, look at this bonus epilogue and this one, you know?
I almost never sign up for newsletters for bonus epilogues. Me like that. Neither. I've done that exactly like 3 times in my reading journey.
Unless it's like, you know, for me, like a Reckless, because I, you know, I'm obsessed with that book. Unless it's like that level of love for a book, I don't really care.
Yeah, I think it just depends. Mm-hmm. I like it when like authors take some time away and then like as like a newsletter treat, they're like, here's what these characters are like.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I like that. Like, because I don't think, because Beach Read already had an epilogue, but like I didn't need that in Beach Read. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, like it doesn't need to be in the back of the book.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But like getting that like down the road, like that was a nice surprise.
And that just again for me goes back to like the slice of life thing, that it's like there's nothing crazy happening in those bonus scenes. It's just like seeing them living. And I mean, we did get a big announcement obviously for January and Gus in that epilogue, but it was like so mundane. They were at a Chili's to go in an airport.
Yeah. I guess like also like since I read so many like YA romances, like epilogues aren't really a thing in YA romances because it's just like
they're not.
You kind of have to assume, like you just have to like assume that everything's gonna be okay with them. Because like you can't, like they're teens, like
you're focused on the now. Do flash 10 years from now and they're gonna have kids. Like that's weird.
Yeah, like that's just, it's not how it works. So I guess like epilogues don't really make or break something for me. But I do like, you're right, like there's not one that I have ever been like, that's fucking stupid.
You know what I do hate in epilogues though? When it's like 2 months from now. I'm like, what's the point of this? Just fucking write it in the book. 2 months?
Yeah. I like when there's like some time.
Yeah, at least a year. Eh, 8 months. Give me 8 months.
Yeah. It was the only epilogue. But was this an epilogue? It had to have been in Every Summer After, right? That's an epilogue.
Yeah, it was an epilogue.
Yeah. Ugh. That was the only epilogue that shouldn't have existed.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got so, we have so many more that we'll opinions.
Chat about.
Yeah, we'll probably have to do a part two. And we got some like series specific ones as well that we will probably talk about in other episodes as well. But thanks everybody for sending them in. This was fun. Some of them that I read, I was like, I guess.
Yeah, a couple of them hurt my feelings a little bit. I was like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Interesting. That is unpopular.
Yeah. You're anonymous? Show your face. I want to touch you. No.
Fun. Well,
we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.